96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. I want to apologize for the late start, but we've got a jam-packed show for you today. We have a on-the-clock and Guardian Radio AM mashup this morning. Yes, we do. In fact, Mr. Nuri, good morning.
Good yawning this morning. I'm always happy to use that when you're on with me.
Yeah, look here, absolutely. And in fact, I'm so glad we left our guests for today's show in the waiting room. I wish you all didn't show up today. I have so much to talk about.
So much things we could have actually discussed, you know, Mr. go back Nuri, and forth with.
Right? Like, I saw this letter in the paper yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's an editorial. Neil Ellis for Governor General.
What?
That's what, Neil Ellis for Governor General. It had a question mark.
Oh, like how I asked, what?
Yeah, like just like that. And I just saw it. That was fascinating. Now, the letter was written by Kevin Evans.
I know that name.
Yeah, he's a regular contributor to the public domain, right? He's a person who regularly shares opinions and informed opinion pieces, right, on a myriad of issues. I just thought it was interesting, that letter. I want us to talk about that at some point. Maybe not today, but some point in the future.
I can make space for you on Friday if you want to know.
All right, but see, because today I wanted to start the show by continuing the conversation that I had yesterday and that we have been having over the last few weeks on marital rape. And then, if we have enough time, I want to look at an article in yesterday's paper, MP Sounds Alarm on Illegal Migrants. But here's why.
But I like how you just move on from Neil Ellis being Governor General Ellis.
Well, we can get there right now. Even before I introduce these two guests who just walked into the studio, because here's the link, right? In the marital rape discussion, one of the questions, or a couple of the questions I didn't get to ask yesterday is the state centering the church, or is the church centering itself in this discussion, right, on marital rape, which leads me back to the a letter to the editor on Neil Ellis for Governor General. Who is lobbying for religious leaders with no political experience to be appointed as Governor General? And is this an indicator? Because the article itself, the letter itself suggests that the author is not the only person or the first person to suggest or to think that this is a good idea. And so it made me think about the space that the church occupies in politics and in national development. And does the church demand did the church carve out that space for itself? Is that a naturally occurring space? Is the public demanding the church's presence or participation in governance, right? Is the government demanding it? Are the church's members demanding it? And how do we get to this place where Neil Ellis, no indictment on his religious profile, right? No indictment on his work as a religious leader. But how have we gotten to a place where somebody and people, because like I say, the letter itself suggested the conversation is larger than the author, could be appointed as governor general. And in the face of all the potential candidates that exist both in the secular world and the non-secular world, right? So it took me back to that question about marital rape. Is the state centering the church in this discussion, or is the church centering itself in this discussion? Because we know that marriage is not exclusive to the Christian church. And while we respect the desire of Christians in the Christian community to state that marriage was created by the Christian church and belongs to the Christian church, like we respect their desire to say that, that at the end of the day, we have to acknowledge the discussion that the church cannot claim that without debate or critique, right? Marriage doesn't belong to the church. The state acknowledges that because you don't have to have a church-sanctioned marriage. You go just go to the courthouse. And once you fit the criteria, you could get married. So why has the church taken up so much space in this discussion? And it's also important because when you talk to people, particularly people who deem themselves defenders of the faith, when you engage them, it looks as if the church feels like it's being attacked in this discussion. And how do we dispel the narrative that attempts to the desire to criminalize marital rape is not an attack on the church? So that's where I wanted to sort of start us this morning, but I feel like I stun y'all.
No, I know you need to introduce your guest.
Yeah.
And I want to say that marriage is a sacrament in the church, a holy thing, is a precept that this is a part of who they are, what they identify themselves as. So the idea that you can take a sacrament from the church and say it belongs to the world is sacrilegious.
But I would say the idea that you could take a naturally occurring thing, I think is a naturally occurring thing, people's desire and commitment to signify to the world that they've coupled, right? That's all. It's an expression of relationship. Like, how could the church take that thing and then say, oh, this is a sacrament that only belongs to the church?
And one must also appreciate that our constitution is based, or the preamble of it is Christian-oriented, right? And that is a part of our culture. So in our culture, intertwined suggests that the church has a role.
Now,
that and also our court system. If you're going to swear to tell the truth, you're going to be swearing that on that Christian Bible.
No. You could swear it on the Quran. You could swear it on your religious text of choice, or you don't have to use text at all.
Our courts has a Quran sitting there waiting on them now.
Well, I think you may be required to bring your Quran.
Because the woman
with the key to the Bible room, to book room, is be out, you know, so you gotta bring your own book, just in case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't think our judicial system limits us, right? To that only, you can only take the Christian oath.
Hmm.
And but so it's interesting. But what's important though in the conversation is that we create an environment where the church doesn't feel like it is being attacked. Because I don't think it's being attacked.
Have you come across any politician thus far, historically and to present, who is not of the Christian faith in the Bahamas?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
Then I yield and said and accept what you have to say there.
Not just that. We all came across the Honorable Hubert Alexander Ingram.
I forget what church he attends.
You see, that's the point.
Yeah.
You remember when Hubert Alexander Ingram said, "Don't follow me to church"? I think they were talking about gay rights, and the people was like, "Big man, what you into? How you could be, you know, sort of signifying and glorifying all of this?"
I think he was actually talking about church. I think nothing but no gay rights.
No, and he said to them, "Don't follow me to church. Follow your own heart to church." It could have been him or it could have been Perry Christie. I think both of them iterated the same sentiments. But what I liked most about it was, here were Christians saying, look here, your faith is about you, mm-hmm, and your journey to God. Don't follow me, big man. I thought that was important too, you know, for Christians to say that to other Christians, to give you a sense that, like, your salvation is up to you and don't demand that other people act in a certain way for your salvation. Anyway, I went really far paraphrasing these Biden words just now.
I see that.
Yeah. But I'm going to give our guests an opportunity to join the fray and paraphrase as well if they want. Joining us this morning for the on-the-clock Guardian Radio AM mashup is, to my right, Mr. Luby George.
Morning, Aaron. Morning, CA. Morning, world. To my co-guest, I guess.
Yeah, man.
Morning to you, too.
Morning, Aaron. Morning, Luby. Morning, CA. Morning, Bahamas.
Good morning. Okay, so now that we've started there, let me throw out the rest of the questions in this portion for you guys. I'm hoping that we could interrogate a little bit.
But I heard you make mention about the church and the politics of the country that we live in. We have to remember that the church is centrally, is central next to none in this country, because we are religious people.
Yes, we are religious people.
Very religious people, like CA was explaining to you. Uh-huh. So it's difficult to have one without the other. It's like that good fruit and bad fruit, that light and that day. You cannot proceed without the advice of these particular persons in your country if you're saying that the foundation is basically Christian.
Right, like I sort of like that perspective. I could be honest with you, because I thought you were about to say, like, because the Christian experience is the lived experience, or the lived experience of Bahamians is the Christian experience, it's difficult to create policy and direct policy without taking into account what it is they live. Forget what the preachers have to say to the politicians. What do the people reflect, right, as their needs, and how does policy then follow that? Like, I like that very much.
Because there's a way you look at it. I think that when we had the voters poll, it was a referendum, but it's a voters poll, with the number thing, the churches made a direct statement in terms of what their stance was in terms of gambling in the Bahamas. We saw that persons came out and drew up numbers, even though statistics would have said that if these persons are making $250 million, one entity, $250 gross a year, and the other ones were doing under the $100 million, that means that's a lot of persons gambling.
Yeah.
And if we can come to the census and know that the populace of the persons that are gambling, and yet when that time came, the church ran a campaign on stopping illegal gambling. And the reality was is that the people spoke, and the word that they spoke was against the thing that they normally do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think we all can agree. We've all basically said the same thing, just in different ways, that culturally, you know, we live in a Christian society. You alluded to the preamble of the Constitution. And so it is very difficult to not have the church centered in such discussions. It is very difficult for us to do that. We cannot remove it is our lived reality here in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
So the church is not, you know, I agree with you too, Aaron, the church is not necessarily being attacked,
mm-hmm.
but the church is a part of the conversation, and they do have massive influence on policies and laws in this country.
Because, you know, for me, would you raise the question, are they being attacked, you know, do they, that feeling of being attacked, right? Is it because they're not being centered in the conversation, or is it because they're actually being attacked? And, you know, I don't think it's fair. Well, mind you, if you believe that you are the primary stakeholder in the conversation, right, then you would then believe that not centering you in the conversation is an act of violence, right? And I cool with that. But the question is, who are the main stakeholders in this conversation about marital rape?
I'll raise this point, Aaron. First, I would like to say that even with the Constitution, we invoked the Christian church and Christian pastors to come along and help frame the Constitution and the building of the Bahamas.
Yeah.
And next, there's a question on which holds supreme, the Constitution of the Bahamas, which governs all laws in the Bahamas, or the Bible? Which one trumps what? And of course, the Constitution trumps the Bible, right?
You trying to get me in trouble.
I think
the Constitution trumps the Bible, right?
It does.
Legally. Yeah.
All things is from God.
Render unto Caesar, which is Caesar, render unto God, which is of God.
And what is of God? This world is of God, eh?
Is marriage of God?
Marriage is of God.
And that is what the Christian church is claiming. And so if they are not invited to the table and, you know, this statement comes out, okay, we're going in, the attorney general, yada, yada, we're going to change the rules and this is how it's going to be now. They feel like, hold on now.
But I don't think any...
Marriage belongs to us. Like, we need to have a say on what happens there.
And, but I would say any church leader that felt that they were left out of the conversation, I would say to them, go talk to the Bahamas Christian Council, because the Christian Council,
the elders, the leaders,
they have a lot of talking to do to convince me that they weren't a part of the consultation process, or they weren't prioritized in the consultation process.
They may not have been.
I mean, I could be honest with you. They're going to have to do a lot of talking to convince me that they were not prioritized in the consultation process, right? You know, without going into any sort of detail. Okay, so I got a couple of texts here. Aaron, did you just say Neil Ellis doesn't have any political experience? Some candidates, including the Speaker of the House, didn't have any political experience either. And they ain't gonna never be GG. Not right now.
And I wanted to comment on that because I believe that Mr. Ellis, or Bishop Ellis, has political experience. An example of that was when he announced, if you don't vote for Perry Crips, see?
But that's the type of politics that would disqualify you from being a GG, right?
But Aaron, there is no qualifications needed to become a governor general. He is an appointed official. This is reality. So when we start to talk about who has qualifications, what is qualifications in the country, what standards are we holding these politicians and these elected officials? How do we then pick an ambassador? We can say use an ambassador to paint. I'm just saying. I think that me growing up, I've seen teachers who, in my view, are national heroes, or they should have been considered to be ambassadors. I'm talking about the ones that relentlessly stayed to work 4 and 5 and 6 hours after just to make sure that one child succeeded. There were so many things that we look at, but we have to address the issue of how do we then come to a realization of who is fit to be an ambassador? Who is?
What are the criteria?
What are the criteria?
And that is what I was thinking about when you were opening and talking about Neil Ellis potentially becoming GG. I'm like, what are the qualifications? What is the criteria?
It's a political appointment.
I mean, a political appointment, a ceremonial position. I mean, what does the GG actually do?
He dictates to government and to...
That doesn't really happen. Because the government that actually appointed you is the government you're going to dictate to.
After the appointment, the person, in stature.
You're talking about the position.
Has authority.
But we know the influence of the positions are governed based on who elected you to put you in the seat.
But I want to say this. I'm quickened to say this. I have no problem with a bishop.
None of us.
A Christian man, a leader of a church, one who has one of the largest constituents in the Bahamas, being a full gospel, who will support him automatically because of who he is. I have no issue with him being considered. My point is, there should have been names put out and say, we are considering these three.
And let the people.
And not even necessarily have the people vote, because I still believe that that should come from the political party in charge. But at least we can learn about the candidates who they put forward and appreciate the process. There's no appreciation of the process. Just say, this is what I want, and you hate it, lump it.
Yeah, because then you know, you have factions in the general public who look at it as, you know, maybe leading up to the election, there was great support with this person that has
a big following,
and so this is their reward for that. You know, so again, I like that point.
But we've seen that on all walks of the table. We've seen that through the media lately. We've seen that through the positions of persons being appointed. We've seen that happen in the Bahamas. This is a practice.
Back to the culture.
This is a learned behavior. This is a practice.
Because I think the question is, who gets to make the big decisions, right? And how do we choose? How are those people selected?
But definitely it's not us. It's not us, Aaron. And then when we look at the government itself, when they are selecting the governor general, I think that somebody said that his job is to agitate for changes or whatever it is that he's going to do. But how can you agitate a government that will actually put you in the driver's seat? That's like saying, I appoint you to be, let's say, a magistrate.
No, let's not say that.
Oh, that's
not no, that. No, right? Let's not.
Or a commissioner of police.
Yeah, commissioner of police, probably. That too. Yeah.
Right.
Or any judge.
Oh, any judge. Yes, because that's what I'm saying. Somebody's hands are going to be tied.
And
when it comes to that particular
cause,
party.
Because yeah, I feel like they play in the Hunger Games without us. And the prize is who gets to be GG. Because GG is paid for life.
For life.
For life.
Right? For life. And all your people special, too.
Yes.
Right? And like
royal.
I feel like maybe we would be better suited to have a reality show where you have to compete in a variety of strategy and physical and emotional and psychological games, right? I mean emotional games, right? Whatever your favorite thing is, you got to get locked up in a room of it for 24 hours and you can't touch it. And if you could, if you like mango, we lock in you in a room of mango for 24 hours. You can't touch one mango. And if you could pass that, then you could go on in the competition.
But the thing is, Aaron, is sometimes we are ousted in terms of what we think and as far as our opinion goes. We look at persons that are prior got into the governor general position. We've seen one state where you can get a spousal funding because of who your husband was. Mm-hmm. And we've seen you sit in the seat as governor general as being paid twice. We've seen persons that have...
You're referencing Dame Lady Marguerite
yeah.
Pinling.
Mm-hmm.
She would be still receiving a pension
both.
As the wife of the former prime minister.
Yes.
And receive...
As a governor general. So see, things of that nature...
She blessed.
I mean, you can call it blessed, but I'm saying you.
I know how blessings.
But things of that nature is what happens. We've seen individuals work for the government system for 45 years. After 45 years, we now contracted you as a contractor to come back. Now we're going to pay you again on top of the salary that you've already been getting. That's killing our country.
I'm sure Mother Pratt getting the deputy governor general salary and her pension from
things of the nature we have seen that becoming a decaying situation in our country. And in order for us to move forward, we have to address the big giant in the room. Who's going to make the decisions and say, you know what, it's not a matter of who supported this and who supported that. We've seen that even with the cronies. They get angry, upset if you don't give them these sidewalk contracts. Mm-hmm. And they're ready to oust their political people. Mm-hmm. So we're saying to you is that we have people sitting down in the Majesty's prison, no longer prison, but it's called correctional facility. Mm-hmm. Why aren't we using them like we used to? And they now cutting those grasses, but we don't have to now pay you because the Bahamian people taking care of you. So what's going to happen if you do that? Then you're trying to tell me that you as the general in that area or you as the political person in that area, you're no longer going to hold that seat. Because when them people can't get that little $2,000 or $3,000 for cutting a sidewalk, when in reality is millions of dollars are being spent just to the cronies, that's killing our country. I'm sick of it.
Okay, watch this. That's not the big question, though. I see you texted. I mean, I'm talking to you texted. There was a particular text. You really want me to read these texts, but I can read the text later. Tall boy texter. That's not the big question, Ian. The big question is this. Let me put you all back to what we're talking about. Is sex a human right? That's the big question. I throw it out there because in this marital rape conflict, Luby, it's okay. We got to answer this. It's okay. I get the impression that people think that they have a right to sex. That means like they have a right to sex because it is a part of a physiological function. And they need to have, and it's mainly, I can be honest, it's mainly men saying this, right? Because they're the ones with that particular...
But that's the makeup of a man. The man's makeup is he doesn't want to have sex. He needs that because that is his function. His function is to bring forth...
So what about Catholic priests?
If he needs it also. So if he's not getting it from a female, then he may be getting it from a little boy.
No, that's not how the Catholic Church works.
We don't know.
This is their Catholic Church.
No, not mine. Sounds like he's a Catholic, but anyhow.
Right, but because where you're leading us suggests that men cannot control themselves. In
Jesus
fact,
was single. He didn't get married.
There you go. And I mean, his whole vibe was, hey,
Paul,
the Bible.
But remember,
John.
The Bible speaks about the classes of events. It doesn't entail everything that probably transpired. There are people.
But here's what I'm saying, right? Sex may be a right, but like free speech, it cannot be exercised at the expense of others. You cannot force people to listen to your ramblings, and you cannot force another person to have sex with you. That's a quote I found online. It is apparently like The site I got it from said this is what the liberal people is say, to give you all the context of the site, right? And I like it though, right? As a deaf, right? Like you have a right to have sex. Nobody could tell you you are.
You shouldn't.
You know, it's against the law for you to have sex.
Consensual sex.
Right. You're not entitled to sex.
What about inalienable rights? Right. The pursuit of happiness is an inalienable right. And sex is happiness. So I should have an inalienable right to pursue my happiness.
I am the most liberal person you know, and I can tell you I am not quite sure that's true.
Exactly. And I would consider myself a liberal also. And so again, to have sex, there must be another human being.
People do other things.
The world is supposed that they are doing other things.
You can, other than just human. Have you seen dogs?
No.
We're not talking about dogs. Have you seen people buy dogs?
Bestiality is not an issue.
Not bestiality. We've seen people now have these dolls that they're using.
Dolls.
Not the dog. We're not talking about the ones that are doing the dog and horse. We're talking about the dolls that you can purchase online.
And people are having. It still goes back to the point. No one is saying that you can't have sex. You have the right to have sex. But when it comes to another human being,
you don't have atonement over their bodies.
You don't.
Right.
But it sounds as if with this marital rape conversation, there are many men that believe that once they sign that contract and she signs on the dotted line,
they should have access.
I have access. This is mine.
But can I say to you, what is the premise of marriage? And we have to go back, as you state the law and the Constitution, what is the premise of this union? You have to remember why these two persons were married. They said, no longer are you two, but you one, because she assumes my name. I didn't assume hers.
If I told you it's rooted in property rights? What if I told you it's rooted in property rights?
If you have your property, can somebody tell you don't go on your property to clean it?
So are you trying to say that the woman or the man in the marriage is the property of the other?
They are one.
Okay, so
how do you perceive it?
So let's go back to the origin of the law. Equality Bahamas hosted a CEDAW series conversation with Marion Bethel, who's the Bahamian CEDAW committee member, right? And she did a great sort of review of law relating to marriage. And at the very, very beginning of this law, right, there's a justice who says, when a man marries a woman, that woman's legal being ceases to exist.
Mm-hmm. What?
Mm. Yep.
Right? That is what the marriage law...
In the context.
Right.
But that is based on the law as it is written, right?
Because she was considered property of the man. So it's two things I'm saying.
The thin line. Remember we talked about the thin line between the church being centrally located in politics and the law? We have to remember there is a thin line also with that. In my belief, I don't think we have a situation in marriage per se is rape. Reality, because of that, is I think we have a legal perspective in terms of people are now tied to another, which I don't want to be with you anymore. And after a year, 2 years, because you need an attorney, you need thousands of dollars, you go through the court system, and I can't be separated from you. If we want to address the big giant in the room, then allow the judges to be able to then to null and void this marriage within a matter of weeks or so forth. And there goes your problem, because now if you go have sex or rape that woman, then that's rape.
Yeah, but what you're saying is...
Because we ain't together no more.
What you're saying is you got to end the contract to become your own again.
You have to.
But the point I was making is that initial law, right, that the beginning of the law around marriage, it only referenced women. There wasn't a second provision that says, and when the man marries the woman, the man ceases to exist legally also. Right? There's no neutrality in that.
Because the man is the head. He is the head of the house. He's the head of that family.
The Bible?
He's the man.
According to the Bible?
According to the religion around the world. Christianity or Jewish.
But not every religion. Many religions, but not every religion. So what happens to the people that are not Christian? Why should their lives be governed by the doctrine of a single or a couple of religious sex?
While in Rome, you live like the Romans do. That's what I was told.
Yeah, but you ain't in Rome, and you ain't in Jerusalem. You ain't in Bethlehem.
We're in the Bahamas. So while in the Bahamas, like she says, the Constitution still states what it is.
Now,
the church is considered to be one of the highest forms in our country.
Let's go back to the preamble of the Constitution. When we come back from this break, we're going to do that. Thank you, producer. I forget this. Ian, you may be right. This man in charge. I ain't listening to my producer.
This a man show.
We're going to a break. You're on the clock with Aaron Green on this Guardian Radio AM on the clock mashup. We will be right back.
Fidelity's free Women Plus seminar is back. Join us on Saturday, October 29th at the Bahama Convention Center, where leading professionals will give you the hard facts on topics like
How to Be Rich 101, how your mental and emotional health impact financial health, and what I wish women knew about men.
And how to get their money. This free, life-changing event is for women and men. The seminar includes breakfast, 8 sessions, plus over $8,000 in prizes and surprises. Registration and breakfast begins at 8 a.m., with sessions from 9:30 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Space is limited, so register now for free at fbbwomenplus.com.
Star 106 Visage and Margaritaville Beach Resort Downtown Nassau presents Fish Fry Fridays. Friday, October 28th at Margaritaville Resort Downtown Nassau. With live music by a big band Visage
and DJ AI.
Gates open at 6:30 p.m. and party until 11:30 p.m. $25 entry includes one free drink. Or experience the Fish Fry Fridays buffet at the Vacation Cafe before the event and enjoy complimentary party access for only $55. Come in your Halloween costume and you can win a prize. It's the party everyone's talking about. Friday, October 28th. It's Fish Fry Fridays. Park for $10 all night. Please bring your parking stub to the gate to be validated.
Here we go.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the test, always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
No matter who I marry, no matter where my wife gives birth, our children will be Bahamian, like me.
If I marry a man who's not Bahamian, I have to give birth in the Bahamas, or my children won't even be Bahamian like I am.
That don't even make sense.
That's why we had the referendum in 2016.
But the people vote no.
The government can still do something about it with ordinary legislation. And it needs to develop an action plan and timeline to hold another referendum to deal with gender inequality in the Constitution.
How we can make that happen?
Go to tiny.cc/nationality to support the campaign for equal nationality rights by Equality Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to the On The Clock Guardian Radio AM mashup with my co-host Cecil Newry and our guest today, Mr. Luby George and Mr. Ian Munnings. Now, gentlemen, I'm going to not let y'all talk for 3 seconds, okay? This Ian, but he's a lot of trouble on the side of it. Anyway, I got some text here that say, Dame Ivy Dumont gets 4 pensions, including Governor General. Stop only calling out PLPs who get pension. These wow. guests are biased. I'm not going to use that expletive you use. Just pathetic. Okay, dear texter, I could be honest with you. There is no political nothing in this space. You could call them biased if you want. I don't think they bias maybe, on this know, issue.
Definitely not.
I spring this on them. This is my conversation. And I don't care if you are PLP or if you are FNM. My dear PLP families, I love you all, even though I talk about the PLP sternly. I just got to put that out there. But Dame Ivy Dumont, are you willing to adopt any adults? Do they allow adult adoption in the Bahamas? Because 4 pensions, you're going to need help managing that. Another text, Aaron, when you get married, no doctor, nurse, etc. can operate on you without your spouse's consent. Also, stop the narrative that only men hot up for sex get a life. Dear Texter, I think you sort of lost the context of the conversation. I was referencing a very spirited caller yesterday, right? A very spirited caller who suggested that when men age, their ability to perform sexually diminishes tremendously. And that, and I'm paraphrasing now, that, that it feels like an act of cruelty when you as a man who may experience ED regularly finally are able to perform, mm-hmm. and your wife says, no, I'm not in the mood, considering that you can barely do
that's
it.
That's cruel and unusual punishment.
Right, but this is this is what the caller, this is what I inferred from what the caller was trying to say. And what underlies that is the idea that you have a right to sex. Now, I referenced men specifically in this conversation because of their physiological differences compared to women. I am not a man, and so I've not had that experience of being a man with a male member. But I can imagine that there are some physiological needs that men have in reference to that member. So I think it's a conversation worthy of having, but I can declare my position clearly, that I think that it is unreasonable for men to say you cannot expect us to control ourselves in any situation or every situation.
But Aaron, I want to interject here.
Yeah.
My point of all of this is, why create laws that will frustrate bohemians in the long run? And this is my point here, right? Rape is penetration by force, right? And it's difficult to prove rape now, right?
But it's also touching, right? It's penetration and touching by force.
That's a definition. My point is, it's difficult to prove that now, right? And part of proving it is to see physical injury, one, and also to see any semen or anything thereabouts, right? Now, let's bring in this marriage thing. One should expect semen to be in one's wife.
Yeah, that's expected.
I mean, mm-hmm. you can't say that's foreign. Use that as evidence. Say, see, there is his parts in me. That's expected. So you can't use that as evidence. And now the question is either physical force, where you can see bruising or whatever it is, or he say, she say, or where he said, but she give me consent, and you say, and then the lady said, no, I did not, and then you use the physical evidence. And I'm putting this now to the marriage, right? Same scenario for us. I'm saying the man, the husband did in fact rape his wife, and she presented it to the court, and the court says, yes, we found semen inside his wife. One should expect that, so that can't be used. And then you say, well, therefore there's bruising. See, I'm vigorous. My wife is a small lady.
She like rough.
Whatever it is. So you should expect bruising. Let me show you what I'm working with. Because the bruising... No, don't laugh, man. Serious topic.
I know it's serious.
Bruising with the hands, bruising with the knees, body contact,
And my point is, I understand the need for the law, and I actually support the law. Right? Because there are a number of women who are being abused, who are being forced and raped by their husbands, and we need to hold these people accountable.
So,
but my point is, you could read in the law, right, which I think will frustrate the system. I say, man, this can't be proven at all.
I liken it to the turn left on red law, right? I like the law, but the implementation of the laws actually increase the danger on the road and increase the frustration as opposed to easing it, right? It's not sufficient to change the law. If you only change the law without what I call the requisite, right? The necessary cultural engagement, mm-hmm. public awareness,
signage,
and cultural attempts, campaigns for cultural shifts, mm-hmm. right? Then you will create a situation that is problematic and probably causes equal harm or more harm, right? Mm-hmm. So I can appreciate that, and we can see other similar situations around us where that's already happened. And like you say, you want the law, But will the law achieve what it intends to achieve, which is to create safer communities, better living situations for people? Will you achieve that by passing the law only, you know, or not engaging the other social elements at the same time that you pass the law? And I think along with that is that you also have to engage the discourse on those elements while you're engaging the conversation about changing the law.
I think, Aaron, part of the conversation that I've seen is that persons would say, you know, we already have laws to deal with abuse and physical abuse and that sort of stuff. And so it leads me to then ask the question, who's pushing for this law to be passed and why? Uh-huh. Because again, like CA just said, okay, we have... It's marital rape now. Rape can happen within a marriage.
I can tell you, and I can speak on behalf of a whole bunch of women.
No, I just wanted to put this out there for everyone here. On the flip side, for those that are against the law being enacted, what is the fear?
Yeah.
If you're a good husband, I mean, what do you fear?
Right.
Why does the church fear this? I've heard some crazy people talk about, okay, well, you know, we don't want it to happen because, you know, these crazy women and, you know, these petty women will use it then against the husbands. Well, there's laws right now that they can't use against the husband. So what is the big difference that we're going to see here?
I got you. I was going to say, Carla, don't go nowhere. I'm coming to you right now. I just want to finish this thought. I was going to say that I would be bold enough to speak on behalf of a lot of women that have never spoken out loud. A lot of them are upper middle class women. A lot of them are lower upper class women. A lot of them are women in the political class, that have experienced rape within their marriages, within their significant relationships, right? Because another question that we're probably not going to get to is, right, do Bahamians really make a significant distinction between wife, common-law wife, significant other, girlfriend, boyfriend, right? I mean, spouse. Yeah. Let me gender neutral that. Spouse, common law spouse, right? Significant other, girlfriend, boyfriend. We can't get to that now. But let me get to the caller. Good morning, caller. I know you've been waiting a long time. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
All is good. Brother Nuri, how are you doing?
Blessings to you, inshallah.
Okay, I can comment on the Maori thing in a couple of minutes. I agree with the young gentleman there. We'll say that all these Moses who double dip and super dip. That is wrong. You see, and this is why we intend to bring the Lord to get right now. And we borrowed money to pay civil servants, you know. You don't want it. I mean, that's why you don't want it, man. You know, we, young people paying our taxes. The Lord will say every day, every time you have an opportunity to speak, he's saying no money to be enough insurance. So all my friends who are 60 years old, I say, but that could take 30 pence because nothing could be there. And with the matter of thing, Aaron, I just be in the city of Jesus Christ Day. He's giving me people with money and these kind of things, so. Like the guest said, these things ain't coming from us being people, man. And the 2 or 3%, we need to lobby against them also, man. And thank you for my call, listen.
No, man, absolutely. Of course I can take your call. I even could read this text here. Say, you all sound so foolish engaging in such a stupid conversation. Full stop, W. I don't know text. I felt like the W was very important there. And I just want to say, listen, I mean, it may sound foolish. Maybe it don't sound foolish. But thank you for listening. For real.
Aaron, I'm going to say this, is that we have to be mindful of the Pandora box that we're tampering with, about to open up.
No, y'all done opened that a long time.
We didn't.
No,
we
no,
didn't,
y'all done opened that a long time. Talking about y'all revere marriage.
No,
to
no,
the, hold
no.
on, let me finish talking about y'all revere marriage to the point where you can't let no thing like husband raping wife destroy it. But the Bahamas is the sweetheart and capital of the world.
Yeah.
Don't suggest to me that y'all
you
love this
but the
thing,
parts
man.
Of the world, a man could have 2 and 3 wives.
But not in the Bahamian constitution.
That's what he said.
Not in the part of the world ruled by the Bahamian constitution.
But I'm glad you would say that. So the Bahamian constitution then states what it is, what a marriage is. A marriage is definitively defined as a union between two persons. They no longer become separate, but they become one.
The constitution don't say that part.
Saying the church. The church is the centerpiece. We're saying that
the church is not the law, though.
No. In any discussions in our country, what is acceptable and which is not acceptable, the church is always at the forefront.
The moral compass.
The moral compass.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Governments over the years have used this moral compass to direct our path as the Bahamas.
Well, look where we are.
Whatever it is, the reality of it is this. There are some situations where there are some women that are being abused
and my heart goes out to those women. And I'm saying
you don't have enough heart to give each of those women a piece of it.
It's not right if it's happening, I'm saying to you. And I think we all would agree with that. But I think the reality of it is when we get into getting deep into personal marriage, the marital bed itself, what the union is as a whole, as an individual. If your husband dies, no matter where he is, whether you're with him or not, you could come back there and claim as his wife. Nobody else present over the body but you.
Unless he wrote a will.
Nope. If he has a will, she still has a percentage as a marriage. She's still married to this man.
Unless in the will he say nothing for her.
She has a dow.
But that's when living in the home. But I understand your point. Go ahead.
But you understand my point. Yeah. But the reality of the situation is this. If we want to correct that giant, and if these women are living in uncomfortable situations, are you living with a husband and you see he's a monster, then let the law make provision that a magistrate can null and void that marriage. You can leave anytime you wish to leave. I don't know who want to stay in a position where you just getting beat. You getting beat, you go to the police station and say, correct it. The minute the police go to correct it, then you tell the police, I don't want him charged.
I'm staying because my name is on the mortgage.
Mm-hmm. But I'm
saying, and even if my name isn't on the mortgage, I've been paying 75% of it for the last 15
Aaron,
years.
I know men who walk to their homes and leave their whole house and their apartment and everything like that. So let's not get in the conversation
because you're
paying a mortgage.
Hold on, that's because men could piss on the side of Ian, let's pause.
More men walked away from their homes than women did.
Ian, let's pause for a second. You caused me run hard.
And they forget about a mortgage.
Dear Lord.
So let's be realistic.
Let this man divorce right now so I could marry him and then we could have this conversation properly.
And if you carry it and you have children for me, that's fine. But the reality of the situation, that's a real man.
No,
a lousy man ain't worrying about how he survive.
Men can urinate on the side of the road and not worry about getting bitten by dogs when they're on their menstrual cycle. It is easier for men to leave and not worry about where they're going
to stay. If we shake that, we lock up. But if you take off your trousers underneath and walk around, you good. Not me.
No, but I think the point that Aaron is making, though, is that...
No, because I've had it shaken at me in public. And
The minute the man shakes that, the law states that he's locked up.
No, the law says it, but not one police can lock him up. I don't understand what you're talking about.
But I know if you get the bikini downtown, you're all right.
No. There is lock up Bahamian women in bikinis.
Hold on now.
They very politely... remove them from Bay Street.
We had a festival just the other day. It went around social media. This woman where did she hold her wallet?
What color was she?
It was orange.
No, what color was she? She's tan.
No, she's light skinned.
She's tourist color. She's tourist color. We know there are different rules for tourists.
There's Long Island. Stand.
Just the way there's different rules for foreigners. Mm-hmm. You know, just the way there are different rules for rich people.
You ever been to somewhere?
This is what I was suggesting, right? Like sometimes, so we're sitting there and we're saying, look here, I'm on the streets. I hear men saying it all the time. This is the go-to line. I'm on the streets with regular people and regular people are not talking about it. Well, I could be honest with you. The irregular people, the rich people, the fancy people, they're not talking about it either. But the women are still being abused in their homes. And I would say this. I know a couple of married men with significant others who were being abused by their partners. And they treated the relationship like you all are telling us we should treat marriages, right? I know a man who was locked up, the woman and her whole family. Lock him up in the yard, the compound, the whole thing. Lock him up and tell him where he's going. I know another boy who was constantly physically and psychologically abused by his partner.
Did he stay?
I don't know. He kept the children. He stayed until he could no longer stay. He stayed until he could no longer physically take the abuse.
Okay, let's put a full stop.
Hold
right
on,
there.
And then he left for the children.
No, we put the full stop. That when he chose to leave, he left. So the reality is that.
No.
If you're in a situation and it's abusive, you have the right at any time to leave. Nothing, no shackles on your hands.
But you're missing the point that I'm making. The point that I'm making is we don't ever hear men talking about men's experiences with marital rape. We don't ever hear men talking about how men can resolve these issues. We only hear men talking about how women want to take advantage of them with this marital rape law. It is men that are suggesting that this is not gender neutral. It is men that are suggesting that it is about controlling the woman, controlling the wife. It is men that are leading this conversation in this direction. And that's the point that I was making.
The alpha females. The alpha females believe that they should run the relationship. And because a lot of these, the females, a real female understands the difference when she's married or she's in a relationship. There is a reason that she has a significant other. He's supposed to be the shelter. He's supposed to be that footing. And if he's not playing that role and you got him, it's going to be a situation. Just saying, hypothetically.
I mean, but why would you use... Okay, first of all, you know that... Okay, it's 11 o'clock. It's 11:01 officially.
Already?
My guest, co-host, right? I don't want people to think I'm trying to demean you or anything. I'm going to read this text before we end the show. When we get back from the break, you think I've given Cecil this mic? I don't know. But I can read the rest of the text, and then we can get into the second portion of the show. The text says, this is a real mashup Wednesday, Aaron, because your guest mashing you up. You need to bring him on every mashup day. I like his spirit. Good show today, by the way. That's the part when he's saying, but you ain't doing a bad job, Aaron. You doing okay. That's the part I like the most in. Anyway, you've been on the clock with the Guardian Radio AM mashup. We only go into a break.
Yes.
We'll be right back, and maybe Cecil will be in charge by then.
Yes.
Ian, you may have a point. Y'all stay tuned.
Unequal gender nationality law is a violation of human rights and a failure of the government to meet its obligations. In 2018, the CEDAW Committee told the Bahamas to set a clear time frame for constitutional reform, to integrate the principle of gender equality into all laws, and to amend the Bahamas Nationality Act 1973 for Bahamian women and men to transmit citizenship on an equal basis. Join Equality Bahamas in demanding action now. Visit tiny.cc/nationality for more.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.